these haters, right, are really just losers. I have never met a hater who turned out to be a really like successful and powerful like person in life or happy person. They're just like angry losers. And it's just like, why are you affected by what these angry losers? They're just like basement dwellers. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but they're just angry. They're angry at everything. I'm just like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for you that you are like that. Your life sucks. Them.
Hi, this is Eric here, and you're listening to Hashtag Highly Sought After. In this inaugural episode of Hashtag Highly Sought After, we have with us a prolific pink personality, a Singapore icon that has amassed millions of followers all around the world. She is none other than Wendy Chen, or more fondly known as Xiaxue.
Yay.
I always feel that when I say Xiaxue, we need to like do some effects and like snowing.
Oh my God, so cheesy.
Yeah, but it's fun. So, I mean, you have been doing this for 15 years, I calculated. 2003 was when you started. Oh, no, 16. Hey, wait. My math is really bad. 16 years.
Oh my gosh, it's like makes me feel really old.
If you raise a kid at 2003, the kid is already going JC.
Oh my
already.
God, it's true.
So, what were some of the words, right, that people have been used on you? The good, the bad, the ugly. What were some words you can think about that you remember?
Rude. People say I'm rude. People say what else? I use good words like a bit brave I say.
No, it's okay. But the fact is there are people, if you look at her comments, you see a lot of very positive words too. Like what were some that
okay,
caught your eye?
I'll give like two bad and two good. Okay. So rude one, good, let me think. Brave. Usually they'll say that. Then bad one, let me see. I get called a midget a lot. But that's like description of the face. So okay, let me think. Vain, maybe? Vain, yeah.
Vain's, is that bad?
Yeah, I think they use it in a bad context.
Okay, use it in a bad context.
But mostly like just the opinions part, like mostly, or like stupid or people like say stupid.
Okay, so rude,
ignorant,
and vain.
This kind.
Then the good one is very
good
brave.
Good one, brave.
I got one that I see a lot. Very intelligent. The way you put forth arguments, you make sense. You're not like just a brash girl just making your point.
Yeah.
Were they accurate? Like, is that who you were even before you start your blogging?
I would think so, because I come from an era where nobody actually go into blogging with the express purpose of being famous or leveraging on it in any way. So can you imagine a world where you actually start your social media and you never knew that you could actually become popular, that you can get sponsorships, that one day you can make this your full-time job? It was never done before.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm really like the cave woman who is like literally playing with the spark.
The trailblazer, essentially.
The spark of the stone and thinking, hey, this look like got thing coming out, but you don't know what fire is for, because or how good this thing would be, you know, because it's just not invented yet.
So what got you to even get started on blogging in the first place?
I have always been a big extrovert, so I love sharing, I love interacting with people, and I just love telling stories, and sharing my opinions, and I always feel like, for me, like, when I feel upset about something, I need to vent it out to feel better.
It becomes an avenue for you to kind of communicate.
So it's just my form of therapy in a way. I write it out, and when people agree with me, I'm like, right? Like, then it just makes me feel so much better.
It's like today's version of Instagram where you do a poll and you go like, yes or no, and then
a little bit of that.
So do you still remember your first post?
I don't really remember. I have something very, very childish and stupid about like my crush or something like that.
Ta-da! So, let me highlight to you, okay? Her first post was on 23rd April 2009.
No,
2003, okay? And it was posted at 3:24 a.m. So something never changed. She also sleep very late.
Yeah, very nocturnal.
And I felt that it's very symbolic. Your very first sentence into the blogging world is very symbolic.
Okay, nobody has done an analysis on
this. Yes, I did. And I felt it's scarily symbolic. You know what she said?
What?
Today is eventful. That was your very first statement to the world. Today is eventful.
I totally did not remember saying
that. Yeah,
okay.
Today is eventful. Obviously, after that, you have a long paragraph.
Right.
But
Was it really eventful?
Yeah, what happened? That because... Oh, okay. So what happened? I'll read to you, okay? First, I went to school for DVPA. So what's DVPA?
A class,
A class. And I got pissed with both Gwen and Aaron, respectively, because of her face and his face. And I was like, this is so typical,
Sasha. Don't judge
okay.
me.
I think Gwen laughs too loud for non-funny, just meant to piss Wendy off jokes by anyone who think they might like to poke fun at a short pitch. So it's very interesting how in that simple first sentence, we have already seen a lot about yourself. Like, you even poke fun at yourself.
Right.
I mean, nobody calls himself a bitch, short, right? Aaron is a sick backstabber complete with thorn. Oh, well. But the second paragraph was very, very interesting.
He's reading in good English. By the way, when it's written that, it's like terribly written.
Already, huh? Very
like, you know,
alien,
you spell
very...
don't, D-O-N-T, T. Like, I spell it as D-U-N, for example. It's damn disgusting. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And cause is like C-O-Z.
I still write that. Because it's too long.
So you see, most of us, those of you who know her, you're like, yeah, that's very typical Sasha, right? She's very open with her words and she's very expressive and she will say as it is, call a spade a spade. I think that's what makes you very well known. But most people would probably not read past that and see another side of you, which I saw. And that's actually the next paragraph. That's why I say that if I study this text, right, much of like literature, right? It really kind of describes you.
That I had two readers at that time.
Only two readers?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
yourself?
Why I can go and like talk shit about my classmates.
Oh, because nobody knows.
Like, yeah.
Then why you never delete it off when you become like more well-known? Because your friends would definitely go read.
I don't know.
Or you never even change their names.
Yeah, I never.
The next paragraph. I like to think that Gwen is a gift from God to come to my life to stretch my patience to its best limit. She's in fact someone who will do good for me in my life. I just don't, and she used D-U-N, I don't like to think that angels look like that. It's a horrible thought. Digressing. I met Eddie for dinner today. So I
this
felt
so
that what's very unique about you is you don't rant for the sake of ranting, but you have a point. You have a point of view.
That's the point. The point is just to talk
patience,
shit about my like...
The patience, right? It's very reflective, don't you feel? That people are sent to our lives to piss stuff off, but also to kind of make us grow. So I felt that it's quite mature for how old are you back then?
18.
18 years old, right? Not bad.
I don't think I sincerely meant it.
Oh, you don't mean it?
I don't think so. I just wrote it as like, you know.
You see, that's the problem with words, right? You cannot sense the tone. Maybe if you do a video, you'll feel like, oh, she's so sarcastic.
No, the point of saying that is to say that she doesn't look like an angel. That's the point of that sentence. It's not like to teach me a lesson.
Guys, I saw the best in her.
Yeah, but
you're wrong. I read her totally wrong. So I guess it's true. We wear lenses.
Maybe. I don't know what I was thinking at that point. So many years ago. It's like speaking 16 years ago.
I'm curious. So because today Xiaoxue, right, has about 600,000 followers on Instagram, 240,000 YouTube subscribers. And if you just say the word Xiaoxue, everybody knows her. Okay. My question is, most of us are very curious about is, what was your biggest struggle back then when you first started?
Struggle?
I think there are two phases. Phase one is when you were not even sure that you're going to make this a career, right? You're just blogging for the sake of blogging.
At that point,
at
you
that
mean?
At that point, yeah.
You mean for monetarily wise, is it?
Like, yeah, okay. Your phase one. Phase one is you're just blogging for blogging
purpose.
Right,
right, yes.
Phase two is when you start to realize that, oh my God, this could be a lucrative career.
Right, right.
So let's talk about phase one first, okay?
Okay.
When you were blogging, were there any struggles? Do you face any challenges?
I think the whole dealing with fame thing, like, changes your friendship dynamics a lot.
Even at the beginning?
Oh, definitely. But I mean, like, it's like just weird to suddenly see your good friend become famous. You know, how are you supposed to feel about that? And I am very aware that, you know, because I love attention, right?
Yeah.
So if this happened to my friend, I might feel a bit jealous or like, you know, just resting, like, well, every time go out, it's always attention on you. Are we talking about you again? You know, kind of thing. Like, I feel very sensitive to these kind of things when I am around people. So I try to like always tone it down.
Yep.
I don't like it in the start. I mean, I still don't really like it when I'm out with my friends and people pay a lot of attention to me and ask me, okay, then my friends, they're very sian, right? Like, it's just very uncomfortable for me.
Correct.
Like, you know, sometimes, like, people even, like, when they meet me, they want a photo, they will just shove the camera to my friend. Like, it's like my assistant like that. Like, hey, can you help us take a photo? Like sometimes they don't even ask, hey, can we take a photo of you that are talking to
so
me?
Rude,
And then their eyes still look at me, they just take the camera.
Oh, dear. So your friend feel invisible around you.
Yeah, so I don't like that feeling, because I put myself in their shoes, I wouldn't like it. you know. So, and just dealing in general with a lot of the dynamics with my friends, I remember my core group of secondary school friends, they said, like, why is it that now they said, right, that I was getting a bit like conceited with the whole blog popularity thing, yes, and like a bit obsessed over it, like whole every single day I would blog, yes, sometimes correct, twice. So like, you know, they would be like, you know, you hold them a stick photo, and then they said, how come our opinions don't matter to you anymore? Like, cause when we say something, you just say, huh, but all the blog readers agree with me. Right? Yeah, then they felt a bit slighted. So I was very careful to sort of handle that part well. But it was, everything was fine, nothing, there was no falling out or anything. Yeah. So I still maintain a lot of my secondary school friends like till today. It's still okay, yeah.
So you were very worried about how your friends deal with your popularity.
In a way, yeah.
When was it? I mean, you blogged for a while, right? You actually had 1,000, quite nerdy, actually like super. You have 1,282 posts on your blog.
Really?
Yeah. At which point in the 1,282 posts, right, you discovered that, oh my god, you actually got the attention of Singapore, at least at the start. How do you know you're getting famous?
Okay, I don't know which blog post it is, but I remember somewhere in my poly years. So that started when I was, I think, 18. Yeah. So poly years is still
21, no?
Until 21, is it? Okay, somewhere maybe second year poly.
Yeah.
No, last poly 17, 18, about 19, maybe. Okay. About 1 year into it, I started realizing that a lot of like people randomly come up to me in school to say that, you know, I read your blog, but I never truly felt like Singapore knew who I was.
Yes.
It was more like the young, very young crowd. If you ask, I always feel like I am not famous until I eat at a hawker store and the uncle asked me to take a photo with his food and put it on the wall next to people like Fiona Xie or like Zoe Tae, right?
Got
or
it.
Even like Lee Hsien Loong.
I'm
right?
sure so, people now do that.
No,
right?
No, actually they still don't really. But
maybe
sometimes
you say no to
they that. Will just say like, hey, no, they don't want, they ask all the Fiona Xie all this part. So they are not paisei. So it's just the issue is really they don't know who I am.
Maybe they don't go social media.
Yeah, I always don't feel like I'm famous until I sit in a cab and I know for sure the cab driver will know who I am.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's only young people. So at a certain point, I started to realize this is beyond my friends already. Like, because strangers were coming up to me.
Yeah.
I knew that from the start, I think within the next, 2 weeks of blogging, I had about 300 unique views a day, which was actually...
From two, back then.
Yeah, it was just like these 300. Two, I don't know how it spread. So, and it was not like I was advertising it anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really pure word of mouth. But I think people were really stuffed of things to visit online at that time, because websites were shitty. It was like the era of GeoCities. Yeah, you know?
Oh dear, I remember GeoCities.
Yeah,
so, you create your own website, blinking words.
Yeah, you have nothing to do online. Yeah. Literally, people were bored. They were going to bored.com.
And you know what, guys? Stay with us on this interview because we're going to go into the tactics of social media in a very short while, but we are still at Xiaxue's backstory, which strangely, we don't really get to hear a lot about, right? So, phase one. Friends, you're very concerned about how your friends deal with it.
Mm.
That was your biggest challenge. Then, at what point do you decide to make this a career?
I think I repeated this story a few times, but I'll just say it again.
I
met this dude called Troderick. He's my good friend now.
Yeah.
So, he is a really entrepreneurial sort of person.
Mm.
And he started a t-shirt design brand. Mm. He no longer sells it. He actually works for his family business, but he was doing it for fun, selling t-shirts online with his own design and slogan. And he just, he found my blog and then he was like, can I advertise with you? And so-called be my brand ambassador. And I'll let you wear my t-shirts. You have to wear it 4 times in a month, at least in photos. So,
which year was that?
2005, I think.
Oh my god, this guy is way ahead of his time.
No,
huh?
Yeah, he is. It never has happened
because
before.
That is what's happening now.
Yes.
But he did it 10 years
so
ago.
So this is really it's crazy. Yeah. He started it, literally started
it's
it.
Foresight.
It's never ever happened in the past. So he said, wear it on your blog and I'll give you $300 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Free t-shirts and you gotta earn some money.
$300. I was like, so much money.
Yeah.
Free t-shirt, of course. And I post pictures anyway every day. So I have to be wearing something.
Yeah.
So instead of repeating, oh my god, I might as well wear his t-shirts. Yeah. Pretty cute designs. So he was the one who started this, and then he also advised me. He said, look, you have a golden window opportunity. I don't know how long it's gonna last, but while it lasts, you need to leverage on it because the marketing, advertising mediums are very stale. It's all traditional media. And this is a new, people, so the t-shirt sold really well.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, like, I'm very influential. He said that from the start. And he said, marketers, once they realize how good you are, they will all come running to you. Because he says it's so cheap, right? And compared to a TV ad.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's so much more effective.
Yeah.
And so many people see it. So that was, at that time, it was maybe thousands, like a few thousands a day for, in terms of views. So that was what he said. And then he said, you really need to work on this. And then he said, why are you, because I was a very poor student at that time. So I would just do very cheapo things all the time, you know. So like.
Like what?
Like, for example, go into the MRT and go very close to the person in front of me so that I can save on MRT fee. Go inside the gantry.
Last time can do that, right?
Can. The, before it closed, before it comes in. Like, I'll do that, yeah.
No wonder people say you're brave. I would not have the courage to do that.
So, like, yeah, like, my bus, you know, last time got bus stamp.
Correct.
You showed the uncle, correct, right?
Yes.
So, I realized a way to, like, get out of buying bus stamp. Huh. And for months and months, I just wouldn't buy it. So, you get an old bus stamp, and then, while the... Do you still have bus stamp?
No more already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
but it's
no
my long, era.
Okay, okay. So, anyway, you have to show that month's bus stamp. Yes. It costs a certain amount of money,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
So, I take the money that my mother gave me for the bus stamp and then I use it for myself.
Yeah.
It's like $50, very little only lah. So, like, you know, I would just search in my bag for very long for the thing.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I know where it is.
For the people who are not from Singapore, means
pretend
right?
Like, just pretending to search for it. And then the bus driver have no choice but to drive off, right? Because people are waiting for him. So, while he's impatient, he's got to drive. He had his eyes on the road. Then I would just flash and go. Because he's already driving, he cannot be bothered to check me.
How did you come up with this idea?
I just like, stroke of brilliance. I was just like, that's how I avoided paying for a whole year of bus fare.
Got it. Okay, so creative.
So, I was very cheap.
So creative.
So, don't get distracted from the story. So, he said, why are you still trying to pay for it? Because I like colorful hair and stuff, right? Why are you still paying for your hair and your nails? He said, like, people will be so happy to sponsor it for you. And if they don't want to, they are idiots. Yep. He said that. So he told me, I said, how am I supposed to do a buey pai se? Excuse me.
Buey pai se means so thick skin.
So thick skin, right? Yeah. I cannot be so unabashed. Go and like tell business owners, hey, do you want to give me free nails? Then they'll be like, who the f are you?
Yeah.
What is a blogger? Never heard of such a thing, right?
Exactly.
At this point, it was like only young people knew who I was. Correct. And people who are in marketing and stuff, they don't know who I am. So he just said, make a portfolio for yourself, put in all these newspaper articles that are written about you, and provide all your stats, you know, and tell them how many views you have and everything. So they will see all this and they can decide for themselves. Anyway, it's very cheap for them.
Correct.
What is it to them, you know? It's giving you a few free nails. It's correct. Not that expensive.
It's not
that
they're going to pay you. Right?
Yeah. So that's what he said. So I just like, okay, well, I guess I'll go try.
Yeah.
So I did. And that was the start of all blogger hair sponsorship, nail sponsorships. Like, nowadays, every other influencer has one.
Yeah.
But at the start, it was
my answer is 2005, eh?
Yeah, so 2004, something really early. Yeah. But it was just like so difficult for me. So I went to this hair salon. I really liked at that time, it was Kimmich. I somehow managed to ask to speak to the boss.
Yes.
And she met me and she really had a meeting. I was so stressed out because I was this 18-year-old girl. You know, it's just like, I know agent anything, you know. I was just standing there in my portfolio like, Jesus Christ, I need to like promote myself. So I went there. I was like, hey, you know, work with you guys and blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, okay, fine, can. And I was like, oh, really? Then she was like, yeah, but you're going to the student one.
Oh.
So I'm just a guinea pig like, for still to cut hair. But even if you want to be being cut by the students part, right? You actually still have to pay money. It's just cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a cheaper free hair sponsorship. Yeah. So I went and I was very happy to get it. Really, really happy. Because I really like colored hair. It's so expensive to go and bleach, right?
True.
So I can free. I'm very good. And to be fair, they did quite okay job. So all this started. And then after that, one day I had a controversy on my blog about some handicapped toilet thing. And then it went on newspapers, went viral. And then she called me and she was like, Wendy, I saw this thing. Unfortunately, we need to drop you.
So
they dropped me from the ambassadorship.
How do you feel?
I was very angry.
Angry? Not devastated. Angry, that was first emotion.
I don't care about her anymore. You know, like, you your company, okay? Yeah. I hope you all taupi, okay? But, like...
What were you angry about?
I was very angry because I hate making my haters feel happy. That's my number one pet peeve.
Got it.
And they are gloating about it. They're so happy that this thing happened. I'm just like, how dare you? Like, you know, like, you're making them happy. And from then on, I vowed never to be like an ambassador unless I expressly sign it in the contract that you can't drop me for controversial reasons.
Yeah.
She knew what she was getting into.
Yeah.
She knew how my blog was like.
Correct.
How can she just like suddenly I'm going to drop you? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's
got
over.
It. Yeah.
And to me, I obstinately still feel that I did no wrong in
that
article.
Yeah, you guys do your own research about that article,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So the article is just about like me going talking about handicapped toilets.
Correct.
And I just feel like normal people are entitled to use it. Like, I never felt that it was a parking lot where it's like only handicapped people can use.
And just a side note, guys, one of the things that I felt Sasha is very good at is she's able to pick up trending topics or be able to find a good story. And we'll talk about that later during the content creation bit. Because for you to have a voice, you need to be able to talk about things that people care about. Obviously, people care a lot about handicapped toilets.
Right? Do they?
If you create controversy.
It was definitely not a trending topic. Because sometimes when I blog things, I know that it will be controversial.
Yeah.
So I always try to sort of like think about what people will argue first and give my defense.
Point of view,
because by the time you come out with second blog post, half the people have not read
it. It's like what we learn in university, our general paper.
Yeah,
right?
You need to argue with it. Yeah. In my mind, somebody's arguing with me. So, but that one, the handicapped toilet one, absolutely did not expect a backlash. I did not expect it. Because for girls, when you go into a normal toilet, let's say everyone's queuing up for the 5 cubicles, right?
Yes.
If the empty one is the handicap one, you just
go
in.
Yeah, even guys
so
do that.
So, I was so shocked, you know. And I was so shocked to realize that my friend Roderick, the one who did the t-shirt,
yes.
he actually said he disagreed with me.
He disagreed with me as
he
well.
Said, like, you know, he's not offended over my point of view, but he disagrees. He thinks that it should be only for handicapped people.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but he didn't drop me. He said that I'm not going to drop you. I support that you have your own opinion. And
exactly.
You go. So he was the only one who stayed true. And I had a new sponsor who dropped me as well. Yeah.
I see. But wouldn't you say that sometimes comeback is a lot sweeter, right? So what was your comeback?
I didn't really have a comeback.
Or you looked for how long? It means you try to like, for how long? And then boom, the next good thing happened for you.
I mean, I can't remember. I think like, there was no immediate, like, you know, like, good part to that, you know? Except that, I guess, now my hair sponsorship and deal shit a lot better, so f*** them, you know? Like, So,
better quality, right?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, it's just, at that time, I was just very, very annoyed that the haters were so gloaty.
Could you say that is your biggest challenge in your entire career? It's about dealing with haters.
No, I love that part.
Oh, they were the highlight for your career.
I wouldn't say is that is a challenge for me at all.
What would be your challenge then? I mean, phase two. Phase two is where you make this a career. Like today.
Career? You monetarily wise?
No, it could be any challenge. Legit challenge for you.
I think the biggest challenge is dealing with the fact that people around me are affected by my fame.
So still is.
Sometimes
it still
in a negative way. Not that the friends one is more like their relationship with me.
Okay.
This one is like if I'm famous, people attack my mother, attack my brother. I don't like that. It really irritates me a lot.
Okay.
Like,
they can't get
child.
You, they get everybody around.
Correct. And it really hurts me. Because they cannot hurt me. Yeah. There's nothing you can say that will hurt me. But you can hurt me by hurting people.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie, right?
So,
I can't hurt the hero, I hurt everybody around the hero.
Correct. So, I mean, it's very evil of them, because these are innocent people, right?
Yeah.
But to them, they don't care. They just want to see me hurt, you see?
How do you deal with it?
I don't let them see that I'm hurt.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it gives them satisfaction. Why would I do that? Yo, I will just lead the best life that I can and just let you all feel very, very upset about it.
So that's like your motivation.
That's definitely my motivation. For sure.
And later on, we'll talk about that. How do we deal with critics and haters as well? So guys, that's Xia Xue. And thank you so much for sharing your backstory with us. Today, right, you have 608,000 IG followers, 240,000 YouTube subscribers. Big brands have taken you global because I follow her, right? So at Japan, I remember you were in Japan recently as well. And you're, which other countries are you going?
I'm going to Milan and in like 3 days.
Oh my god, for fashion.
For fashion. Like my first time for fashion actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So but I'm just going as my friends plus one actually. So
who cares? You'll
really.
Be there still.
Really,
what other countries have you been to because of this career? Representing
many.
Brands?
The more memorable ones that are like kind of weird, like Georgia. For example, I went to Georgia for like a work conference to talk about social media. I have a very loyal fan there. Her name is Mariam, like from Georgia, not US Georgia, like the
Europe Georgia.
Yeah. So that's a country that, you know, Singaporeans wouldn't travel to normally. So when I went there, I was like really cool. This looks like normal part of Europe, like actually any part of Europe. So went there for a work trip and places like just the normal cities also have like Tokyo or like, you know, Zurich, I recently went to Hawaii.
Yes.
Like, I went to Maldives with Benefit, and I was like, wow, my bucket list is like, well, it's so
checking,
nice.
Checking. So this job of representing brands, sharing and teaching to your followers kind of take you around the world. What I'm very curious about is, what do you think, you've done this, what, 15, 16 years already. There must be something you did right. What do you think that is?
I think I was very lucky. I started very early.
Okay, so being early helps.
So, I think starting early in my platform helped a lot because firstly, there wasn't any competition.
Yeah.
It was very, the barrier of entry so low. You know, nowadays, if you want to be an influencer, you have to look so good, you have this and that. So there's so many people to compete with you, and it's so saturated.
Yes.
And in the past, the internet is very boring. There's very few things you can do online. Correct. So now the internet is so full of interesting things to do. It's very difficult to get someone's attention.
Yes.
So that was then. I had help then by being early.
Yep.
And then subsequently, I think it is coming, being consistent and never really kind of giving up on that.
Consistent about what?
Consistent about keeping up with giving content. Be it blogging, which I don't really do anymore.
Yeah.
Or following up with Instagram or going with the trend of like videos.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, so it's like consistent because there are some famous bloggers back then who decide to just give up. Maybe they decided that blogging is not going to be a full-time career. Like it's too unstable.
Yep.
So they're scared or like whatever. But for me, I don't really care about finances. I'm really, really, really bad with finances.
I mean, yeah, you can even squeeze through the MRT gantry and pass no
problem. No, that one shows that I care. But now that I have sufficient money to lead a relatively comfortable life, I really don't care about earning money. Money does not motivate. You can tell me, I give you $10, go and do something, but I'm too lazy, right? I will just be,
what motivates you?
Revenge. Only revenge motivates me.
The part about not making your haters like
Let's not
like
call
you.
It revenge. Let's call it righteous indignation.
Sounds good. Righteous indignation. Okay, yes. That motivates you.
So, yeah. Okay. So, typically, all the blog posts that you see that I'm very passionate about and that I put a lot of effort in is when I'm very angry. Yeah,
because you have a point of view and you have something to express, right?
Yeah. Sometimes.
And that, I would say, from an outsider's point of view, is that it's also one of your secret, your formula. Right. Maybe you don't realize it, but that you have a point of view.
Right.
That but stands out.
How do you go and get a point of view if you don't have one?
No, because you think.
Right.
If you have your own original thinking, because I feel that a lot of us, we don't have original thought because we don't even know how to think independently. So we tend to think based on what media says. We tend to think based on what our friends say. But I feel that you have a very unique point of view. This is how you think. And then back then, there's no social media. But now with social media, it's very easy for you to, this is what I believe in. And it's polarizing.
Right.
It just happened that you have a majority of people who agree with you. I say the silent supporters. But you have very vocal haters as well.
Yes.
And maybe they are the one that make you so popular.
Yeah. Definitely, for sure. Thank you very much.
So, thank you, haters. So, guys, haters are not that bad. It makes you stand out.
Oh, I love my haters. I love them.
Like, how do you deal with haters?
Let me complete the part about the saying, like, what I did right thing, because I
so two point. Okay, third point. Okay, yeah.
So I think like another part of it is keeping up with the platforms.
Mm.
So in the past, it was like, you know, blogging was the in thing. Mm. And then after that, people move on to social media platforms.
Right.
So being able to move your content there, sometimes it's not that easy because you get used to a certain platform.
That's
like, for example, YouTube is very different from blogging. But also that part, I got lucky because I started working with the Click Network boss, Jillian, who taught me a lot about video.
Okay.
You know, I was very unnatural and just not a very interesting person in front of the camera in the past. I was just very awkward. I mumbled a lot and I would just say things like that all the time. And it's like over the years, started being a lot more natural and knowing that when you say certain things, it will be good on camera. Do certain things, it will be good on camera.
Wow.
But sometimes it's not. Because it's very, very different from blogging, you see. On the blog, I can just be long-winded or use very difficult words or whatever. But on camera, you have to be quick, be interesting. And it's just, so I managed to transfer that because it was reading long form and then became short form like Twitter.
Correct.
And then it became like sort of Instagram photo based. Yeah. And then also now, obviously, people have a lot more bandwidth. So they watch a lot of videos. So being able to sort of like move your content from one to another and moving my followers from one to another, that's the important part. You still need to move them and then retain them. So that's the difficult thing.
Got it. So being first, that was one.
Yeah.
Number two is being able to move from platform to platform. So go with the trend, right? That's number two. Yeah. From my point of view, three would be that you have a point of view.
Mm.
How about what other things you felt
just
you
now
did?
Is it keeping consistent with like...
And being consistent with your content.
Yeah, you have to keep giving. And I feel that that part is like, it's tough lah, because unless you are genuinely very passionate and you really, really like it, it's very tough to keep this up for 16 years and keep giving content, you know? I would say at no point in my whole career have I ever thought, I would never, I don't want to post anything anymore. I just want to be an unknown person. Like, I want to give it all up and move to unknown island and just live there. It has never happened in my life. I love sharing. I always liked it. So I love creating content. I love editing a photo, posting it up. That has always been...
Like your passion.
Yeah. So and luckily this passion has not gone away. So even now when I'm sharing with you, it feels like I'm blogging. It's the same kind of joy that I'm having. Like,
having a conversation just like spoken form.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel if you don't have it, you don't have it, then how? There's nothing you can really do about it.
Understand.
You keep forcing it, you're also very sian.
Hey, this is Eric here, just dropping in to check in on you. Are you getting value so far from this interview? Because if you are, I'm very happy for you. And I'm really curious to know what are some of the key takeaways. So after the interview, go to social media, screenshot your learnings and tag me, all right? So that we can connect. Okay. I'm going to leave you to listen to the rest of the interview. Enjoy.
So what do you think the modern day influencers doing wrong?
Wrong?
Yeah. If you're like their sister, right? You're like big sister.
Wow.
If they're watching this, I don't know if they're going to watch this, but if you're watching this, what advice do you have for them?
Well, I feel...
Because they're living in a more difficult time. Like you said, inattention and so much competition.
Well, I think that, like what I said just now, it needs to be from a place of passion. And I don't like it when people ask me, hey, I want to be a blogger too. I want to make it my career. So what should I blog about? But why are you asking me, what if you don't have something that you want to write about, why are you blogging? You blog because you want money? That is not going to last you. You know, people can tell that you're doing it for money. People can tell that you're not sincere in your sharing and you seem desperate. Yeah.
Trying too hard.
You're trying too hard.
Or that you're going into social media to be famous.
Correct.
That famous cannot be the end goal. It has to be a fruit.
It should be a byproduct.
A byproduct, right? The main purpose is that you want to share, you want to kind of make an impact.
Yeah, correct.
In your own, in your own way.
It absolutely makes a difference because at the start, when I started blogging, it just sounded like I was shouting into a void, you know? It sounded so natural because I really didn't think anyone was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I feel that people who go into this field, you should genuinely want to share. And think about it. If you're not getting any money, in fact, it's giving you grief, would you still be doing it?
Mm.
Yeah. So the answer is, I think a lot of people, they say no. They just look at influencers getting sponsored, flown business class, this and that. They want to do it because I also want all those.
Yeah, they see all the glamour, but they don't see all the sweat behind it.
Yeah, correct.
So maybe we go one more level deeper. So a person wants to share. Must it be an area that they are good at or just an area that they're passionate about?
I would say the passion is more important than being
good. The heart. The heart is more important.
Yeah, you can be funny and just do it wrongly. Mm. It's fine. Like, because you can learn along the way and eventually keep doing something over and over again and you're open to learning, you eventually get good at it. Yeah. Unless you're very, very stupid lah, then can I help you lah, you know? But you just need to keep doing it and you will keep doing it because you like it anyway. Yeah.
Got it. So passion is a very good starting point.
Yeah.
And how you know your passion kind of bear you fruits is when people start to pay attention to you and that's when you monetize the influence.
I mean, everyone has sort of like their own secret skill, right? Mm. You can kind of focus on that. Like if, for example, I really like cooking, then I can be like sharing about cooking and that can be sort of like my niche, you know? So you may not be better than everyone else, but you can be more passionate about yourself.
Correct. Anyone else. And then eventually you'll find your voice, right?
Yes, yeah.
Ah, talking about voice, how do you find your voice? Like, it started off with you ranting or just... No, not even ranting. You're just sharing your life to void, right?
Yeah.
You're just blogging. I remember you say it's for therapy.
Yes.
But it was very certain that as time goes, there was a very distinctive voice. Like, today I'm pretty sure if I read something, I can tell this Sasha's voice if I read it. But how do you develop that distinctive voice of yours?
You're not going to like this answer.
No, just tell us as
it is. I didn't. I was just like that.
Just being yourself?
Yeah, it was just like how I talk to my friends, I would just write like that.
Well, it's scary to be yourself, right?
And it's just like because a lot of my articles are like argumentative.
Yeah.
So I always feel like as along the way I learn as well that, you know, for example, that you have to preempt what people would argue with you about Correct. And give your defense first.
Correct.
Yeah. And stuff like that, you just learn along the way of what works, what doesn't work. Sometimes it's like, you know, you post a photo on Instagram, you know that this is going to get a lot of likes. Like, for example, I know that any photo that is lovey-dovey, my yes. husband will get yes. a lot of likes. For some reason, people really like it. Yeah. Even though I personally don't like it.
But it resonates with people's emotions.
I don't know why people like it. Okay, when I see like a couple photo, it's like, oh, my eyes, like, it's very boring content.
Correct.
I'd rather be looking at like babies or like new art or like new makeup. That's like stuff like that. That's what about. I like. Yeah, but people really like it. So when I post, in the back of my mind, I will know that this photo will be good. So I better make sure I edit it more properly and I better put a better caption. So things like that, like, it's a little bit, you know, you start to learn. And then, for example, now if I take a photo of, for example, I kill a lizard, I'm very proud of myself. Yeah, okay, yeah. I think it's an interesting story. I want to post about it on Instagram, but the next day I drop 200 followers. Because lizard very ugly, right? On Instagram, nobody wants to see a dead lizard. So I won't post it because I will think that it's like, it will make me drop followers. Like, subconsciously, you won't want to already.
Understand.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be a very try-hard thing. But then I would think, like, but I really want to share about this lizard thing, but I'll go and put it on IG stories.
Yeah.
Or I'll go and put it on Twitter.
Correct.
Because that's the avenue later. For it. Like, people don't care. They won't unfollow you for it.
So it's good that you brought us to this direction. So let's go to the different areas, right?
Right.
We all know content is very important.
Right.
Like, what's your thought process every time you come up with your content? Like, is that a question you ask before you post that content? Because you have an eye for content. Like, the lizard one was a good example. I followed that lizard, the conversation about lizards and how she felt that lizards were doing it on purpose. You know, so I thought that was interesting. You did another one, which is like, if you're stuck in an island, you know, who would you choose? You know, the good looking guy or the bad looking guy, but there were conditions as well. Like, one can survive, one can survive.
Stephen Lim. Would you rather be stuck in on an island with Stephen Lim? Alone?
Or be alone. But Stephen Lim is somebody that you either like or you don't like. So would you want to be stuck with that?
No. The credits of that is that nobody likes him. I would choose the person that, like, in general, like, girls are like, oh, the one lah, you know? Like,
and then you started talking about, well, if Stephen Lim know how to cook a chicken, then maybe because survival skills are
important. I would definitely stay with him in the island, even if he's like, you know, like, hopefully he's not rapey, but like, But at least a man can, like, take care of things, like,
which is,
I'm alone, I should die.
Make up your way to survival.
And I'll be so lonely, I'll be like, oh my God, I'd rather talk to Stephen Lim than nobody for 10 years. Yeah.
But you see, that's the thing. You are very on point, right, when it comes to content.
You are? Really?
Very on point. Even come out the controversial post that you did on IG, where you do a makeup like Rosma, right? That was very controversial, but that created a conversation. So I'm just curious, How do you do it? How do you know what to post? How do you know that this one should work, this one won't work?
No lah, I don't mind. Because on Instagram, I also post things, but sometimes they don't work.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes it's just ads. Like, they're not that interesting. But it's just sometimes you just hit jackpot lor. Like,
But you 15 years of hitting jackpot, is that a pattern?
But I don't get that many amazing posts a year, you see? Okay. It's like, I post like maybe 100 things a year and 2 are very popular. You know, sometimes...
What's the pattern then? When you look at all those that work, right?
Right.
Generally, what's the pattern? What do people like? Like you say, like, lovey-dovey stuff.
Humor.
Humor. Okay. Humor.
I don't believe in the lovey-dovey. I think that doesn't give you true followers. People are not liking you for your personality, that they are not loyal fans. They are just there because they like the photo. It's a very superficial like, because they just like seeing romance. It makes them,
they were like, but it's not because of you.
But would they care to lend you money if you are, like, freaking getting sued? These people don't give a shit.
Got it.
Okay, so people who give a shit about that are people who read your deep thoughts and everything, like, you know, and agree with you and they truly support you. So I believe that kind of fan or that kind of follower is a lot more valuable than, I don't care about impressing, like, people for, like, you know, likes lah.
Correct.
So that's why I personally, I don't like posting on Instagram. It's too superficial for me. It's not my thing. Mm. I much, much more enjoy posting on stories because it can be ugly, it can be funny, Correct. It can be rude.
And it's real.
Yeah. So it just feels a lot more like my normal, like, good old days of blogging, whereas Instagram is very curated and I understand that it needs to look nice for people to follow you, Correct. But not my thing lah.
So I get it. So for you find that when you have a point of view, like you say something that you care about, even if you know that people might not believe it, but because it's authentic to you, you care about it, you put it out there, that to you is considered a good post.
A lot of field posts also that people don't remember. Because I post on Instagram stories all the time.
Yeah.
So you remember, for example, the island one, right?
Yeah.
But maybe another time I'm posting about my food, you don't care about, right? So occasionally it's just bingo. Like,
could it be that you just simply don't try too hard? And that's why? you bingo.
Maybe
like, yeah, because for us, it's like, I'm not so analytical, you know.
But
like,
eventually, like as you grow older, you talk to a lot of people all the time. You can see sometimes people is in their face, right? If you talk about, let's say, I don't know, finance or anything, they're just like, but if you talk about like, wow, blowjobs, then you can see, okay, wow, that everyone wake up. So
eventually, there's some universal topics.
Correct. So after a while, you realize that, okay, there's certain things that I say subconsciously, you know, that people will be interested in.
I got it. This, I think we can play. That, in other words, what we're saying is that at the beginning of us building our, finding our voice, just talk more, right? Share more everything that you want. Throw everything out there and see what sticks.
Yeah, correct.
And so see what pattern there is.
You will be able to get feedback. Because it's so easy to get feedback nowadays.
Because your followers are actually your best teachers.
Correct. And it's to me, right, it's not a very deliberate thing. It's not like I have a notebook. This one a lot of like, I will do this. Or like, but I don't. It's just very subconscious. Because it's in our brains, like you get a hit of dopamine every time you get a like, a comment.
Correct.
Then when there's interaction, it feels good. Your brain is addicted to it. So the next time I know, I confirm to post this thing. Yeah, so it's, I think it just comes very naturally.
Fantastic. Yeah. So there are so many brands going out for you and flying you everywhere, right? What do you think is the reason why they engage you?
I would say that like probably the ads are quite effective. Like usually brands come back to me and say that it is like, and like
effective means what? That means like there's a lot.
Like it sells, lor.
It sells. All right. Okay. There is people, your followers actually do trust you, or they actually do what you ask them to do. You're influential in that way.
In a way, like
yeah. But why? So. Why were they so willing to do what you ask them to do?
I think right that it's just that over the years I've been very critical about like pretentiousness, about being dishonest online. That's always my pet peeve. I really just I hate fake, like, you know,
fakeness.
Like people who are like online one way and then in real life another way, or like they just are very, because to me, right, you must see that this blogging thing is something that's very sacred to me because it is the core of who I am. Who I'm known for. Without it, who am I? I'm just a pink hair girl walking on the streets, you know? So it's this to me is a very sacred, very palpating. And I always felt like when you create content online, it should be authentic. And that's how I started out because I didn't have any ulterior motives because none.
You didn't even know you could.
Correct. Yeah. So it was very pure and very beautiful. And I really hate it when people, I can sense that somebody's there doing this craft just because they want to earn money.
Or just get likes.
So I, in a sense, maybe I'm like a porn star, right, who I just love filming videos because I love the art of it, right?
Yeah.
But I see other porn stars doing it for money and it just like, irritates me because I know that they're not even enjoying the sex. Yeah. They just hate it.
You want
but
to
like,
honor the art
yeah,
form.
You just want to, yeah, to me, it's an art form. It's like, it's beautiful. It's my baby, right?
So
I always criticize people who are like that. And so for example, like if you remember the Gashkot controversy, like part of it was that I said that how come these girls, like they just like, you know, like get sponsored a phone, like a LG phone, like, and then they say, well, best phone ever. But after that, like 1 month later, I can see you're still using your iPhone.
Yeah.
See, so talk, right? So I will criticize stuff like that. So I think over time, it has cultivated an image for me where, true or not, my followers always feel that I won't anyhow advertise for things that I don't like because it's where I strongly believe in and I always criticize. And I believe that over the course of 16 years, nobody has managed to find, like, you know, me advertising for something that I genuinely that just hate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, over the years, I also start to realize even if I don't like Crocs, doesn't mean somebody else like it, right? Doesn't mean it's genuinely bad product. It's just that I don't really like it. So I can factually still say, wow, these are very sterile, very comfortable, good for doctors. I can still say these good things about Crocs. And I'm not lying because it's true. But I'll only be lying if I say, this is my favorite footwear and I think it looks so nice.
Yeah, and the worst thing is, I see like one day you promote, not you, but some bloggers, some Instagrammers, they'll say, oh, this is the best food ever. Then the competitor will hire them. Then they say, this is the best. So then your best, like not very best
it's
anymore.
Not authentic,
you know? Or your best is depending on how much money people pay you.
Correct.
And then that means that
it's
not very
authentic. Yeah, and I think followers are not that stupid that they can sense that you're doing it for the money, and it just really irks me. So I think over the years, I think brands feel that, you know, it's they want that, that
honesty and authenticity.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a stamp of approval that okay, she said it's good means it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, she's not one of those people who's like, you know, anyhow gonna say that it's good because we pay her. So
I love it. Thank you.
A little bit that like that. Yeah. Speaking of that, like the food thing, like chicken like roast chicken company just tried to like pay me like $30,000 to do a video and like pretend it's not an ad and just compare them to other like brands and say that theirs is the best. Oh. Then I just rejected it. I was just like, I'm not going to fucking do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay, so good. So
yeah.
$30,000! $30,000 to eat a plate of roast chicken rice.
Yeah, that's always
I always get very confused that, like food bloggers, for example, they get invited for food tasting, right? What if they taste it and the food is really legit not good for them? Do they post or do they not post? Like, they are being paid, you know?
Maybe they post less, I don't know.
Yeah, so I find that sometimes it's very difficult.
Maybe they don't care. Mm. They just anyhow, lor.
You know, so I learned something from you, which is everything starts from passion first. Then even taking the money becomes a lot easier and more authentic. Mm. Because if you're already passionate about a brand, the brand knows that, then they hire you, it's very authentic. You make money, yet you're talking about a brand that you like. But if money becomes your only focus, then you're just going after brands that are willing to give you money. Then your words have to keep changing. Then at your core, you're not being authentic.
Mm.
So I thought that, wow, that was a good tip. Start from passion. That I learned from you. Now, you're really good at YouTube and Instagram. Like, some quick tips. You know, people are taking
quick
notes.
Quick
tips. What can we do to succeed on Instagram? Maybe we start with that first.
Okay, I'm giving all these tips, but like, as I said, I'm not very passionate about Instagram. I don't really like Instagram that much, but these other tips that work, I guess, people do giveaways that will work. I don't like all these things because it just feels very like insulting my like pure thing, you know? Like,
again, so I know already.
I know.
The ultimate tip for you is irritating. Just create good content that is authentic to you
but
and you're
passionate
about.
But it will no longer
about.
Work in this era.
Sad, huh?
Yes.
You gotta play by the rules,
sad,
right?
It's very sad, but it's true. And these tips are like giveaways. It's a desperation. I don't like it. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you know, I get too naggy about that thing. So, being consistent with your content, always posting, and kind of being able to identify what. So Instagram page itself, don't talk about IG stories. Yeah. People are very superficial. They like looking at pretty things. Yeah. So, take good photos, good quality, good lighting, and make your feed consistent and have a certain aesthetic. I have felt that things with a very niche kind of vibe to it. It's very easy to get popular. So, for example, if you do makeup, it's all purely makeup. Don't suddenly go and post your dog.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Unless you do dog makeup.
But keep it very consistent. Yeah. Because what happens is if your texts and all that are always about makeup, then somebody who likes makeup will go on the popular page and click on like the explore page. Rather.
That's true.
To click on one, if you click on one makeup post only, suddenly all makeup posts will come out. So it's all the related posts will come out. So for example, if you like gay boys in like gyms, then you click on that, then all the gay boys in gyms will come out. So you're very niche. Yeah. So it's bad for people like me because I'm very generic, right?
Yes.
So like it's very hard for me to pop up there and gain followers from explore
page. I hear. So you got to play by the algorithm of the platform.
Correct. Yeah.
How about YouTube? Any tips on YouTube?
I think for YouTubers, just be very consistent in your content. And like, it's
consistent
really
as in post often.
Post often.
And how often? It means like once a week, every day.
Every day is too constant. Every day only like those Casey Neistat or like.
Ah, correct. The daily vloggers.
Oh, that's really, really tough, man. Yeah, even like once a week to me is very, very tough. So I post like maybe 2-3 weeks one time.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So it's about, again, your consistent is not about daily or what, but if you're going to post every month, then just make sure every month you post. Sometimes you got a lot of posts and then less posts. Is that what you meant?
But, we're going back to the core of the things. It's like, why are you even growing your idea first?
We can pick up, right? So at the end of the day, still go back to the core. If you're creating content out of passion of that topic or out of passion of sharing to your followers, that is always true. If you're posting because, it's work, something is wrong.
We cannot deny that it's very important in today's life. So I understand
even
why
as a professional, we need to do
it. Yeah, that's why I understand why people need to do it, but it's not something that I respect. You know? It's like you're making a movie because you want to earn money. Then it's just like I do my movie because I like doing movies. So it's just like a bit like
goes to show that at the end of the day, right, at the core of content creation is genuine care for the craft and genuine care for your followers.
Mm-hmm.
That should always be the reason.
But if you don't have it, you don't have it.
Right? No, you don't have it, then you shouldn't even be on it.
No, because but I disagree with it. Because I feel like it's necessary and it does give you a lot of good things. So I can see why people want it.
Even if they're not authentic.
It's very easy for me to say, why must you be so like that? Why do you want so many followers for what? But it's very easy for me because I already have it.
Yeah.
I have never not had it. And I have all the good things that come with it, right? And I would never understand how it feels like I can maybe understand if I go to a room full of 10 million followers to feel insignificant because my following is so little,
yep.
or be less of a actress for because my fellow actress has a lot more followers than
Got me.
Right? Even though my craft may be better than her, I may be more passionate than her, but she might be hired because her numbers are higher.
So that numbers still matter in this world.
It's unfortunate and I hate it, but it does matter.
Got it. And so we sometimes got to just grit our teeth and play by the rules.
Correct. So
while
even
trying
though,
to keep
correct. So even though these tips that I give, right, are not, you know,
you roll your eyeball at all the tips.
Not roll eyeball, I just very sian that the reality is like that nowadays. And I just think it takes away from the beauty of creating content online.
I feel that it's how I look at it, right, is be smart about it, play by the rules, but always put your signature on it. I mean, you cannot, don't breathe. I hate oxygen. I don't breathe. I'll die. Right? But I might not like it.
Yeah.
But play by the rules. So I think that's what I'm hearing from you. Play by the rules of YouTube or Instagram. Instagram is pictures. YouTube is. How
video.
To do well on YouTube? What kind of content
get
do you
get good videos, lor. So you try
high quality videos also.
Yeah, try to film videos that are like, they don't need to be like super long or like, you know, like good quality, like, yeah, interesting. You can. It's very difficult to say what's interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes weird things go viral as well.
Correct.
But yeah, you, as I said, just go and post the things that you like and you will start having a feel of what is good and what is not, what people like, based on the amount of likes, based on the amount of dislikes,
the creative process,
amount of comments on
comments and engagement. Got it. So to recap, is just post based on what you like, because when you're passionate about it, it's more sustainable. You'll post more often anyway, right? And then when you throw everything out there, you see what sticks. And then you go like, oh, this one sticks somehow.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like, I like it. I don't care what people say. You know, my friends always tell me, like my influencer friends, they always say, like my IG stories are too rubber already. I just...
What is rubber?
Rubber, like anyhow.
Oh, anyhow.
Low quality, like just... I really don't care what. They will actually take a video, go home and put it in a nice frame, put some nice caption and...
Then post on story.
Or like cut it and edit it. And I just can't remember. Over there, I film, finish, post. Yeah.
That's your style.
I just do that. And I refuse to become like that because it makes my IG story become another Instagram, which I hate. So I want to love it. I want to be able to be happy when I post it.
Yep.
And it makes me stressed and have anxiety when I post something on Instagram because I know if it's a shit photo, I'll get very little likes. And that is very difficult not to feel affected. You know, you would think that over the years, it's like...
I'm surprised that you say that
no,
even if you get some
like,
less follow, you get affected.
I mean, like if it's significantly less,
like
let's say it's 10% of your usual, it's hard not to feel like, what's wrong with like that? You know what I mean? So...
If do you delete it or do you just like
I won't delete it. I'll just leave it be lah. But subconsciously, I think some part of my brain will lodge that maybe that was not a nice photo. I just don't post like that sort of photo.
Okay, so you make a mental note.
Yeah.
Final question in the tactics segment, right? You live for your haters.
Yes.
If you see your Instagram bio, it says that bashing haters since 2003. So I thought that was cool. I know you're very fired by your haters, but not all of us are. One hater, right, can like cause us nightmares and we are very afraid of posting. I know of a lot of my followers who resist social media because they don't want to get flaked. They don't want to get negative comments, even one of them.
Right.
What advice do you have for them? How do we become more brave?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that like these haters, right, are really just losers. I have never met a hater who turned out to be a really like successful and powerful like person in life or happy person. They're just like angry losers. And it's just like, why are you affected by what these angry losers? They're just like basement dwellers. Like, I don't know what the f*** they're doing, but they're just angry. They're angry at everything. I'm just like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for you that you are like that. Your life sucks.
Them.
So it's just like,
very nice.
You know,
so we need to have a visual image of how these haters look like, and then we don't take their words too seriously.
Correct. They just hate everyone. They're just angry people. So you know, it's like don't need to bother about them. And I think you know, it's you need to understand that without love, then like if you have love, there will be hate. So you want people to like you, there will be you want to be popular. There'll be people who hate you.
Yeah, there's a saying that, a very Zen saying, that if you let compliments affect you, compliments and criticism are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
If you embrace compliments, then so do you have to embrace criticism.
Yeah, but criticism always get magnified. So like, like at least like maybe 10 people a day tell me, oh, you're so pretty. But I literally hear none of it.
Yeah, but the bad one, it sticks your hair.
Yes,
right? Why are you so flashy?
I just need one for a person to say, wow, you look very fat in that photo. And I remember that, but I don't remember 100 people telling me I look so gorgeous. You know, it's just like...
So how long do you take to get over it before the next post come and then...
I don't. I just get fired up. I don't get upset. So for me, that was my, I don't know why, and I don't know how to advise people how to do that, because my default reaction is to get angry and defensive.
Okay, and you protect it, but you said you get fired up as well, as yeah, to prove them wrong.
Sometimes, though, and I'll just post about it. Then, like, for example, now you say I look very fat in that photo. I will just think, well, you are very rude, leh. Even if I am fat, right? It's not your business. Yeah. Why are you so rude? Your mother never bring you up properly, is yeah, it? So I will just go and search their photo. You think you're very skinny, is it? Now I'm going to post their photo.
To prove the point, and then yeah, it creates content.
Like, excuse me, do you like it when I say that you are fat? Mm. Right? So, like, why would you say that to me? You are very rude. So, like, I'll just be rude back. Then that was what I would do. Yeah. I don't let it go to my head and think, like, oh yeah, how are like just... Okay, can you explain to me how normal people react?
No, normal people probably not fight back. Normally people would then take that and like, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. And then 2 points. Either they self, you know, change it and go like, no, that's not true. Or they will do something about it. Right. Or they will really be very defeated. Huh? But yours is the aggression method, lah, which is, you say I'm fat, right? Let's see who's fatter. You know, and you turn it around. And the best part about you is that you don't just turn it around for your personal entertainment, no? But it became entertainment for everybody else as well. So, but I'm not
come,
saying...
How come the focus is not on how rude that stupid is? Like, I would just be like, huh? You said that? Then I don't see how skinny you are. Like. Then I'll just... Like, even if the person is skinny, I'll just be like, your mother also fat. Like.
Well, it depends. I feel that it depends on your moral ground, right? If, let's say you are born in an era where fat doesn't mean a lot, it's not a negative word, right, then fat is fat, lah. It's reality. Yeah.
Mm.
So it depends on the person also. But I feel that that's the thing, why we cannot, social media is so open, we cannot control what people say.
Yeah, and they're all crazy people.
Anyway. Yeah, and we can only control how we see it. So I like how you see it. And I'm not saying that you guys need to do it exactly like her, but that's how she deals with it. That every negative comment that comes her way, she look at it as a challenge, and that challenge fire her up and creates content. And she also see haters are just losers. So that minimizes the sting, in other words.
Mm, and I also really like attention. So any form I would like.
I have attention.
I would like a bad dog. You know, go and pee on the ground just and then get scolded. Also, you pay attention to me.
And then you turn it around and yeah, create a conversation and do a poll. So guys, that's Xia Xue for you. And if there's one thing I learned throughout this entire interview, it's about passion to the craft and being authentic to your values. And then when you put yourself out there with these two traits, the right followers will come to you and they'll celebrate who you are.
Good summary.
Yeah, I really learned something. I'm going to take notes later on. Right, so thank you very much, Xia Xue.
Thank you.
Wow, shake hands on that. First time. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Xia Xue, I have a lot of followers, right, who are insurance agents, financial advisors, real estate agents. Okay. Mm. So it's important that they build their personal brand as well.
Mm.
What advice do you have for them?
Personal brand. I think like for salespeople, it's just in general, you need to give off a feeling like you're not out to earn people's money.
Ah.
Earn a commission off them. So I think that is the most important thing.
Okay, the bottom line.
Yes. So you need to sell without really selling them.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Don't talk about products. Mm. Don't keep talking about your products.
Correct. Don't seem like you're a whole day like trying to just get money. Mm. So I feel like for me, I think, like, for example, I think about, like, you know, our friend Daphne's dad, Dennis Wee.
Dennis Wee. Yeah.
So, he's a very famous real estate person, right? But he's also very well known as, for example, being a foodie. Mm. So, he judges, like, food contests. So, Daphne told me, like.
Right.
So, I think that gave him some fame as well, because he would be on newspapers and stuff, and he himself cooks really well.
Yes.
So, like, you know, when you see a famous person, and cooking has nothing to do with me, right? So I don't feel defensive about it, right? Because when I hear a real estate agent, I feel immediately a bit defensive.
Yeah, there's a war already.
Yeah, so I feel like, what are you trying to sell me or what? I'm not sure to buy a house, don't talk to me, You know that kind of thing? Yeah. So like, when he's talking about how he loves food and all that, right? And he's on newspapers, he becomes a famous person that's not known for selling things.
Correct.
And because he's famous, people trust famous people to not scam them. So I think, like, in that sense, that really works for his personal brand, because you know him, you trust him, because you see how he's like, you know, like he's interacting with hawkers or whatever.
Correct.
You see that side of him that you think that he's a trustworthy person. Okay, seems like a good person. Maybe when I buy a house, I think about him.
Got it. So it's by associations. In other words, it's find something you're passionate about, have a voice about that, be really good at it. And then, because people know you, like you, and then they respect you for that piece of knowledge. And when they find out that, hey, you're a real estate agent also, or you're a life insurance agent also, by default, I will transfer that trust to you.
Yeah, correct.
That's so, one angle, right?
Yeah, and I just feel that it should never be just about how good you are as an agent or whatever. Because if people sense that, it's like, you know, It's got ulterior motive to it.
One thing I teach my followers is add a creative slant to their boring topic. I mean, insurance on its own and real estate on its own is already well covered and it's very boring if you talk about
very
it.
Boring.
Plus, like what you say, if I talk about it, immediately people are very defensive, right?
Yeah.
But everyone comes to social media to be entertained.
Mm.
So if you can add a bit of the surprise or intrigue or the fun element to your topic, it becomes interesting.
Right.
So like, I have one follower who is very good with humor. Okay. He's very funny as a guy. So I told him, why don't you put humor into your insurance post so you create memes. And right. It became very well known.
Yeah.
Another guy loved reading and draw mind maps. Right. Quite cool, mind maps.
Mind maps.
Yeah, he's just very good at comic drawing, but mind maps.
Okay.
So I told him read every finance book ever written, ever published, and then do mind maps or that.
Like a summary of
the and book. Do it on Instagram. Because Instagram is about pictures.
Okay,
So
that becomes his niche.
Exactly. And then yet you still can have your personal signature on it. So in other words, guy, look for something that you're good at, you're talented in. Or look at something that worked outside of your vertical. Let me go and study photography, bloggers, or go and study all the other niches. Look at what they did that make them stand out and ask yourself, can I put that into my old traditional? I call it a mashed up.
I think it's very smart.
Yeah, because there's nothing new anymore. It's just creative.
Because I feel like the guy doing memes is not trying to like...
No, I just want to make you laugh. And then when you laugh, I still have a point to make.
Yeah, and it makes you likable. Yeah. So yeah, people will trust you.
Oh, but I like the point. So guys, even if you don't want to talk about insurance or real estate, it's actually okay. You just got to be authentic and find something you're passionate about. Build your fame around that, your influence around that. By transference, you can still do a good job. It has been so phenomenal spending time with you. I laugh a lot. I almost cry when you share about Dash. And I learned so much about you. As a personality myself, I really take something off you. So thank you so much
for taking time to share.
She's very busy, okay? I have to book her many, many months in advance to do this. Yes. Thank you very much, guys. See you in the next episode of Hashtag Highly Sought After.
See you.
Thank you so much for listening to the entire interview. I trust that it was valuable to you. Now, it would mean the world to me if you could write me a review. So, who knows? Your review may be featured in the very next episode. So, what are you waiting for? Go, write a review now. Hashtag Highly Sought After.